Good morning. It's great to see you all here this morning. I was, if you noticed, I got in a fight with a lawnmower again, but it was a good lawnmower though, so thank you. A couple days ago when I had that and I was walking outside and going into Walmart, and I was going, man, it feels so cold. I was going, why does it feel so cold? It's only like 37. That's not that bad. I just couldn't get over it. Then I started thinking, oh, because I'm missing something. So it makes a difference when you get a nice haircut there. So thank you, Matt, for that. I appreciate that. Yes, we are in our journey here with what the Lord has, a story, a wonderful, a real story from, you know what, about 3,200 years ago, this story happened. These lives were lived on earth, and it's just so wonderful to see how God works in and through our lives in many ways. And I was thinking, this is a bold proposal in this chapter 3, something that you might not see too often, even today, where a woman would actually propose to a man. And as you can see, there's all these type of creative ways of asking somebody, you know, making the proposal for marriage, you know, like going down on a one of those, probably Magic Mountain, no, not Magic Mountain, probably Disneyland or something, on a log ride or something going down, you know, will you marry me? And the wife is, and the girl's going like that. So maybe she said no. So that might have been a failure. This one here, will you marry me? Probably, I don't know, 20 feet under the water or something like that. And she probably said yes, but maybe there was a shark around. She got eaten, so that was a failure too. So you have all these things like that. So all this creativity. So, you know, God is creative in how puts it upon our hearts and how we make proposals. And proposals can be kind of scary at times too, you know, because it's risky business, right? To make a proposal, even if it's not marriage, even making a proposal to your family for a vacation. Sometimes when I'm thinking about, like, the last time we had a vacation with the boys going to see the Ark there in Kentucky, you know, I was going, I'm making these plans and stuff like that, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, I wasn't sure if they're going to accept it or not, you know, but after a lot of forcing, yeah, they accepted. So, blessed to be a blessing. You know, last week, you know, we are blessed, and we are blessed spiritually, and we can be blessed, especially in the United States, we are blessed, you know, materialistically a lot too as well. But these blessings that we receive, we're not just to keep, but we are to continue to bless those around us. And as we could see in the story, you know, where Naomi was empty and bitter, and things were starting to turn, the music of the movie is starting to change, and now she's starting to get filled up. And filled up by God's providence, working through Boaz, through Ruth, to bless Naomi, and it kind of goes around and in circles too, between them. So the floodgates are opening there, and God doesn't do small things. When the floodgates open, you know, on the cross, the floodgates of blessings opened. The riches that we receive, that when we follow Christ, when we receive Him as our personal Lord and Savior, the blessings flow endlessly and riches untold that we have. It's wonderful. And we think about this kinsman redeemer. Well, you know, they found, you know, God led Ruth into that harvest field of Boaz, who was a near relative, and they called him a kinsman redeemer. Well, if you look in here, I'm not going to go through this. I just get, if you want to write these down, look at them later. But really what it is, he's just, you know, somebody in a family, a near relative, taking care of somebody else is really needy. You know, they're in a difficult time, like Naomi and Ruth. You know, they're poor, desolate, you know, without any male protector in her family. And so you have things like kinsman redeemer will take care of them by providing an heir for the dead brother, you know, or they'll redeem land from a poor relative. You know, they might have sold it, you know, they try to stay alive. They redeem a relative that was sold into slavery. Also, they become an avenger. They go seek somebody who got, you know, killed a relative. They're the ones who are supposed to go get that guy. All right, so that's a kind of role to kinsman redeemer that he had in Leviticus for us, that God provided to people there to help take care of those, especially those who are in desperate need. God is good, right? Well, as we looked back in Ruth in chapter 1, there in 9, one of the big concerns Naomi had for both her daughters-in-laws at that time was, may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. When she is saying rest, it's not just going to sleep, but it is really a provision, a protection, and just those basic necessities that you need to survive in the world, right? So finding rest, finding peace. So that's Ruth's concern. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that as we go through chapter 3 today together. The plan was given. You know, the plan, Steve read that. You know, Naomi's going, you know, you could see I don't know if you know the Jewish people very much. I've seen some of the movies and stuff like that. They're really interesting people, a culture, and where they'll kind of speak, you know, when they want you to do something, they'll just continue to say things like, oh, that Boaz is a pretty good man, Ruth. Oh. And then maybe a little bit later, you know, Boaz, he's a nice guy, you know, just keeps on going, you know, he's an upstanding man. And keep on going, you know, and then she would say, then after a while, she would, you know, say, oh, I got a plan. I got a plan for you, Ruth. And she says, you know, I need to find you rest. I need to find you a home. So she lays down this plan, you know, go tonight. Boaz is going to be in a winnowing barley at the threshing floor. So wash, perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. So she's, you know, dressing to the nines, but it wasn't like what we would think about in today's day. But back then, when they dressed to the nines, they had gowns that covered their bodies. In fact, if you ever read the story of Jacob, and he was wanting to marry this young lady named Rachel, and he worked 7 years to be able to have her hand in marriage, but then the dad tricked him by giving him the oldest daughter, Leah, first. And you're going, well, how did he make a mistake like that on her wedding night? Well, because she was wearing these clothes, you know, this covering that, you know, probably even a veil. He didn't know who it was until it was too late. And then he had to work another 7 years for the other daughter, right? Hey, that's pretty interesting. Got to think about that, guys, later on. Kind of watch out. But, she's going, and she has this plan now to go to the threshing floor. Then he says, go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying down, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. So, you know, there's a plan about. And Ruth, you know, she goes, well, yeah, all right, I'll do whatever you say. Well, when you literally kind of look at this plan, well, I like these plans. I don't know about some people who play sports or something like that. You just get up there. We used to do this in the dirt, remember? You're playing some football. Hey, Billy, you go this way and that way. And Joe, you go this way and that way. And I'm going to throw the ball this way. You know, all this stuff. And then, of course, somebody intercepts it and runs it back the other way, and they win. You know, something like that, right? But, you know, all these plans, you got these plans. You think they're great. You go, just like a proposal, you know? Oh, yeah, I got this down. You know, I'm going to have success. Well, there's risks. When you have proposals, right? When you make plans, there's risks. You know, things can happen. You know, well, one thing for Ruth is her physical well-being. She's going out as a young woman into this threshing floor where a lot of guys are very happy, and they're just in high spirits. And so even her physical well-being, even she went at night alone. Even walking through the fields to get there was kind of risky, I would think. So I'm kind of looking at this plan, kind of going, I don't know. I would probably at least send, five or six guards, with her, walking along with her. That's the way I would plan it, Or a couple big dogs that should walk with her or something like that, right? Or, or some at least one buff guy or something like that, walking ahead. Yeah, like Gideon, he had a buff boy there, And so here, and not only is it the physical well-being of Ruth, but her reputation is on the line. Something goes wrong, and a lot of innuendos and speculations start to rise up. Ruth isn't really the noble character that we thought. And even Boaz, he's kind of an innocent bystander here, and this could risk his standing in the community. He's a guy of wealth, he has a field, he has workers, all the stuff, and his reputation of upstanding man could be harmed. So this plan really wasn't all that good, but it's what they had. And I believe that, there's factors in it that, that really had Naomi just say, go, 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 and this is the plan. And Ruth going, yes, 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 and Boaz has no clue, but he will we'll find out there. It's called trust, all right? There's something, God, these people are walking closely with God. Naomi is experiencing God in the highs and lows, right? But she hasn't let go of God, and he certainly hasn't let go of her. And the blessings are starting to flow. And she's going, well, look what he's done already. He's already led Ruth to our kinsman redeemer, and he's been blessing her with extra and doggy bags, all this food that we need. Why can't I trust him for this? Yeah. Sure. This is my plan. Yeah, I know it's got a lot of holes in it, but go. Because God's with you. What can stand against you? Right? That's her attitude. And Ruth is going, yeah, you're right. Because look how bad things were, and now things are picking up speed. She's probably looking forward to what's coming next. And then Ruth trusts Boaz, because Boaz is really taking a special interest in her and taking care of her and Naomi. And of course, Boaz, we know he's an upstanding man, trusting in God. I'll do whatever you say. That's what she said. So Ruth, and so she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Okay. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, and he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile, Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. Whoop! Wow. Man. I don't know. Dads, would you let your daughters do? Is this a good way to do a proposal? Maybe not now, but maybe back then, that could be something to do. But decisions are what we have here. And little decisions really drive our bigger decisions. Have you noticed that? You decide to do this and do little things, and then all of a sudden you got this big decision, and you're already kind of, you're going downstream already in all your little decisions. So they're trusting in God in this, a lot of times when we have bigger decisions like marriage or jobs or moving or whatever, things like that, they're risky. And you could fail. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could fail. And we can make mistakes, but they're also, what do you do? What are you waiting for? Every detail to be worked out. If you're waiting for every detail to be worked out in your life, you're still going to be sitting there when you're 99 years old. So what he's saying is trust in God, the one who has given his life for you, and you're to give your life to him. Trust him. He puts something in his heart. Go. Oh, it might not be perfect. You might make a mistake. But go. Because God can redeem our mistakes. Not that we're being in rebellion. Now, you know, when we rebel against him, that's a little bit differently. But when we make a mistake out of honestly following him, he can redeem that. Just like he did Elimelech, he decided to move his family to a foreign country of Moab during the days of Judges when they weren't being so friendly to one another. Kind of a poor decision, leaving Bethlehem, which is a breadbasket, even though they were in a famine. But he could have waited, trusted in God. But no, he moved his whole family over there. But so he made a mistake, most likely, in not trusting God. But God said, well, I'm going to do something even more beautiful than you can ever think of. I'm going to speak to the heart of a young lady named Ruth, who was a Moabitess and didn't even know me. And I'm going to take her out of that darkness, that dark world that she's been living in, and I'm going to bring her into my wonderful light of life. New life. He redeems. And for Naomi, she was blessed. She had a family. Well, I'm going to bless her more than what she ever thought that could happen before. Just like Job, who was blessed double over for all of the suffering that he had. And God is not a God of an attitude of que sera, sera. I don't know if anybody knows how to sing that. Come on, Karen, sing it out for me. Come on. Joy, please. Que sera, sera. Now, I got this from Mr. Alistair Begg. Okay, he sang and I was swooning. No. But her attitude is really, whatever will be, will be. Who cares about God? I don't care. I don't know what's going to happen next. Let's just whatever will be, will be. Just kind of walking blindly. It's called fatalistic attitude, all right? Yeah, whatever. Here comes a cliff, you can walk over it. Oh, whatever be, will be. Oh, you know, okay. That's up to, but God's not God like that. He's a God of trust. He's a God that's saying, you trust me, and I'm going to do more for you than you can ever ask for or imagine. He's one that promotes this type of thing. Can you see Ruth going down there? What's this song, Joy? Do you remember this? I'm going to the threshing floor and I'm going to get married. Huh? Do you know that, Dave? Do you know that song?
I don't think that's the exact word.
Well. Okay. Well, you know what? You can take that up with Alistair. I'm just grabbing this from him. I just thought this was very interesting. He is a God that he wants us to run in the path of his commands. You know, because he's the one to set our hearts free. Confidence. Trusting in this God that's been his providence working in our lives. And we just open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our heart, experience what he's doing. We'll see him day to day, moment to moment, working through our lives. Powerful. He will tell you what to do. You're looking for details? Well, there you go. Because you took the step of faith. Ruth took the step of faith, went out to the threshing floor, all this stuff. Yeah, the plan worked, even though it wasn't great. The plan worked. He will tell you what to do. Surprise! Well, he woke up middle of the night with a woman at his feet. You know, back then, they knew what that means. Boaz wasn't a dummy. She was proposing to him. He's probably still getting a sleep out of his eyes. And you know, and this, who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth. She said, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are my kinsman redeemer. She didn't even stop. You know, he didn't even give Boaz a chance. Like, what are you doing here? No, no. She just said, marry me because you're my kinsman redeemer. And I know you got to do this. This is part of what, you know, following the rules that God set up, taking care of us. Boldness. Boldness. That 2:12 I have there states, you know, Boaz blessed her when he first saw her in the fields, and he was amazed just how she's taking care, showing so much love to her mother-in-law. And he says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. And may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Well, Boaz, little did you know that you're the ones that are covering her. under your wings and blessing her. That's how God works. He sent a son. He sent a son to do that for us, right? This attitude, I did this for my sons. Gideon, you can probably get into this. Lily, yeah, probably get into this. Ellie, if she ever looked up, she could, you know, get into this too. You know, you got a little anime action. I got your back attitude here. I got your back. You know, both this guy and this guy like that. Something coming at you. Nobody's coming at your back. See, this is the way. Do you see this? Naomi's got Ruth's back. I'm going to find you rest. I'm going to find you a good home. I know this guy. And Ruth is looking out for Naomi. Hey, I'm coming home. I'm working hard. I'm bringing back an abundance and even some doggy bags for you. And Boaz is looking after both of them out of his kindness because he knows where the blessings flow. He knows where it came from. I got your back. That's what friends have. That's what family has. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ have. I got your back, no matter what. Even when a ball hits you at 5,000 miles per hour, I got your back, right? That type of thing. Wait until you find out what happens. Well, see, as you come out, the Lord bless you. You know, this is Boaz's words to her. Says, the Lord bless you, my daughter. He replied, this kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. This kindness is that kindness is talking we went through right there. You know, I got your back. Her friendship and love for Naomi is clearly for him to see. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. She didn't have to go by the Levi law. She could have made up her own line. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to find my own guy. Right? No, she's doing this for Naomi. She, instead of looking after herself, she has given her life up for Naomi. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. Don't let it be known. See? He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When he did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. So he not only just took care of her and made sure that everything was right, he said, here's some more food for you. Take it back to Naomi. Can you see the blessings flow, the joy of it, and his focus? He's not just sitting back, well, maybe next week or a couple weeks we'll find out what's going on here. Or, I'll redeem. But he knows he has to do things right. He knows there's another kinsman redeemer he has to ask first. You know, he's not bypassing that. He's doing what is right. He also said, bring me the shawl. Okay. And when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked her, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Naomi, bitter, empty, it's faded away, hasn't it? It's fading away. She's becoming abundantly full, overflowing with God's blessings right now. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Boaz, some people would say, is hot to trot. All right? He's ready. He's going. And he's not going to stop until he gets it done. gets it done. And when I'm reading this story, this Boaz character starts to remind me of another kinsman redeemer we have. Yes, Jesus. He's our true kinsman redeemer. We're seeing things like mercy and grace, you know, that Boaz shows to both Ruth and Naomi. Well, he shows that to us. The friendship and kindness. Jesus, he had just, that's something just a part of the relationship that we have with him. The protection and provision, the rest that we have in him. We don't have to strive. He's going to provide for us. The forgiveness and new life that Ruth and Naomi are starting up now. That's what we received from Christ when we said, yes, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive me for my sin and come into my heart. And then you know what? Jesus has that power and authority to get things done right. Well, Boaz, in his day, he had power and authority too, and he was doing things right. Jesus went on the cross to settle it all perfectly, once and for all for us, standing in our stead, nailed to the cross in our place. That's what he did for us, to give us that new life, the forgiveness of sins. Under his wings, we find rest, security, love, purpose, a wonderful inheritance, and going, going, going. When we came to Christ, we said, cover us. He covered us. He covered all of our sins and made us new in the sight of his Father. It's powerful. That's what he's done for us as our kinsman redeemer. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are my only kinsman redeemer. Have you done that today? Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus to cover you? This is the time. Today is today. You know, there's no reason to wait for tomorrow. He is alive. He is there. The testimonies are out. His creation testifies to who he is, even now. His word speaks of who he is. Ask him into your life, into your heart. Ask to be covered, your sins forgiven, so you can start a new life. The new hope, living in that new hope that we talked about, sang about today. So things about, well, how do you spread your garment over somebody? Because there's a lot of need out there. Sometimes it's your neighbor, your family member, or classmate, or a coworker, or something like that, or somebody you don't even know, but they're, you know, they need help. You know, so be aware of this. You know, I think a lot of times we're talking this morning, we get into our comfort zones and our own little lives, and we got to do this and that. We got our own list. You know, we can't let anybody cause us to get distracted from that. Kind of like the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, the priest and the Levite. You know, a man was beaten on the side of the road, and they just said, oh, I don't have time for you. I got something else. I got a big meeting coming up. Leave me alone. I'm not looking at you. Or I'll look at you a little bit, but I'll just keep on going. No, we are to be the Good Samaritan to see that and say, oh, okay, I had all these plans, but okay, I got to take care of you. Spread your garment. I tell you, when you do that, you got a Ruth. You got a Ruth. You got something. Because remember, from Ruth, there's a descendant of a guy named King David. And David was, the ancestor of our true kinsman redeemer, Christ himself, along that line. So get out of our comfort zones. Yeah, that's hard, I know. I confess, I have trouble. Comfort zone. You get in this little area, it's so hard to get out of that comfort zone. That's why a lot of times when Jesus sent out his disciples, he didn't send them one by one. He sent them two by two, because he kicked the other guy in the rear end, you know, when he's starting to get in his comfort zone. Oh, but this fire is nice and cozy. I don't want to go out and visit these guys. Get out there. Let's go. You know, that type of thing. You need that. If you don't have another person that you're going to say, hey, I need you to kick me to get me moving again. Yeah, you need that. I need that. Have your back attitude. Empower these people through words of prayer. To remember the blessings that we can pray for over people. You know, those are all important. That's how you do that. Covering your garments. Covering people with the garment that God gave you. Because remember, when you receive Christ, you're not just a follower of Christ, but you're also a priest, as we were talking about this morning. You're part of the priesthood, each one of us. And we are to act priestly and to love others and to go and advocate for them, to cover them and pray for them and to admonish them, to encourage them, to warn them, all that. To speak truth into their lives. And I could see this in Acts, you know, when they were going through, you know, new church was being started, right? And there's a lot of excitement, but there is a lot of persecution going on. You know, if you're not suffering, you know, maybe the enemy is just tricking you. You're so comfortable. The devil loves that. Because he wants us to have these attitudes. He says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Not go, ooh, I'm not going to say anything. Nope. Great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're on Jesus. It's through Jesus. It's not you. Okay, we're out there. We're speaking, but it's Christ through us. His power and his word is what's moving people that will open hearts to him. We're messengers alone. We are those messengers. We are to show love to the people around us by covering them with our garments that Christ has given us. Let's pray. Father, again, we rejoice in your word. Thank you for the time that we're able to share together. Lord, may we go forth as kinsmen redeemers, Lord. We are to be your image bearers of Christ, as you have been our kinsman redeemer. May we show that same type of love and mercy and grace to others as we spread out the garment of hope, of love, and truth over those around us. Speak truth in our lives. Bless them. We might not even know their names until that time. But Lord, we trust you that you will raise up more Ruths as we follow the example of Boaz in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us do that, empowered by your Spirit, with boldness, those bold proposals. Give us that boldness, Father, to speak your words of life into this world of darkness. Praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of us people say, amen. Amen.